Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Srila Prabhupada Vedanta Sutra. In a Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, Srila Prabhupada introduces the Vedanta Sutra as follows. No, we did that. We're on Anubandha Chatushtaya. Yeah, okay. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, in his Govinda Bhasha commentary in Vedanta Sutra, cites the four essential elements of the work as follows. Footnote 4. Since sutras are brief in nature, they are supported by bhashya, or commentaries that explain the meaning of the original text in detail, is defined in the next verse. That's still down here, right? Okay. The knowers of bhashya know bhashya to be that in which the meaning of sutras are explained with words in keeping with the sutra order. In addition, it explains the usage of its own words where necessary. Right? So when you're explaining the bhashya, it means you want to be able to explain the words as they are because there's a particular order that they're put in. Because Sanskrit, because of the grammatical nature, you technically, on certain ways, can move things around. That's where the word juggler comes in. So that's why then the bhashyas will be explaining things in the line how that they're coming, right? As the word is there, so that there'll be no word juggling. Right, so you're explaining something, then the next thing, then the next thing, so that there won't be any problem like this. Does this make sense? Yeah. Yes.
What's tikka?
Tikka will be then an explanation of the bhashya. So that then, as we're saying, doesn't have to be necessarily in the word, in the form of the words. It's just explaining some important point that needs to be brought out. Because the bhashya will explain things very nicely, but there's something you don't quite understand there. That's what the tikka will deal with. So. Okay.
And this would be generally the same also, or different ones?
It can be the same, it can be different. Like Sanatana Goswami, he'll write the work and then write his own commentary. So modern academics think this is really strange, but in the Vedic it's pretty standard. Because you want to say it in essence, so you say. You know, you have an understanding of the subject, you therefore say it in its very essential form. But that all needs explanation. So that will be given in the commentary. Generally a commentary after that, that would be by someone else. Like that. So depending upon here, then the bhashya generally would be in this form like this. Because in other words, it's a grammatical form. And if it's just a general discussion, how like Prabhupada does the purports, that would be a tikka. So you might just go like Sanatana Goswami goes straight to a tikka. You know, or Bhagavatam Dik Darshani Tikka, or on his Vriyad Bhagavatam Rita, it's also, I think he uses Dik Darshani as the name of all of his tikkas. I would say is the style would be tikka, but the point is it's because it's not so much. He does the word for word explanation in the verse, so it's already the effect of the bhashya is there, because you'll see sometimes the words he'll use in the translation are different than in the word for word, and then as we saw the other day on Friday, he actually even had footnotes on the meaning of the words. So like it says here, it may even be that you even give meanings on the meanings of the words you use. So you get the effect of the bhashya, but he's using, by grammatically, I think, or literarily using the tikka form. Like that. It's more approachable, you say?
I was just going to say another important aspect of the order is that you can't just go cherry-picking, you know, statements from around the different itself to get to the point. There's actually sangati between the actual, within the pada, within the adhyaya, and within the whole work.
Okay.
So it has to be logically consistent within the context.
Okay, okay, very good. So what he's saying is that another aspect of the bhasya is why it goes to that word for word, because it actually has to be in the context. Because this verse is connected to the previous one, it's connected to the next one. That whole adhikarna is connected to the one before and the one after. That chapter is connected to this, that pada, like that. The Vedanta Sutra has to be connected to the Upanishads. Like that. So there has to be the sangati. So you can't just pick out what you want. So technically you could say sharirika bhashya is not technically a bhashya, because it only picks out which points it wants. So it doesn't deal with everything that's in there. Only the Vaishnavas actually deal fully. So you could say that's actually a full bhashya. Right? Okay, then what was this continuing from? Oh, okay. So this is Baladeva Vidyabhushan cites four essential elements of the work as follows. The qualified person, adhikari, for this work is a person with pure heart, devoid of material desires, who is greedy for the association of spiritual people, who is endowed with great faith and possesses qualities such as peacefulness. The sambandha is that the words of this work describe the subject Brahman. The subject or Vishaya is the faultless Supreme Lord, endowed with eternity, knowledge and bliss, possessing unlimited inconceivable shaktis, and possessing unlimited pure qualities. The goal of Prayojana is to realize the Lord after having destroyed countless faults. All this will become clear later. Right? So this is actually the point. This gives in essence what is the Vedanta Sutra. Because your Anubandha Chatushtaya has to explain what is the subject matter, who's qualified, what's the goal of it, or what you'll gain from it. Your process will be you're going to study it. So that this is for an academic work. But the point is the person that can do it. Like here, okay, the Vedanta Sutra, okay, is about Brahman, right? And about the Supreme Lord and all his unlimited qualities and energies. The person who can appreciate this, who can actually study it, is someone with a pure heart who is not interested in material development and who wants the association of those who are spiritual. Because we see as Vedanta Sutra, as we said, it's actually a sannyas literature. So that means is for Vaishnavas, that's sannyas by mentality. Does that make sense? So when we're like that, we're interested in pure devotional service, we're not interested in material life, and we're interested in the association of devotees, that's the qualification for study. And it's going to be about the Lord and his qualities. But it mentions there his qualities and his energies. Because he has his own qualities as a person, but he has his energies by which everything gets done. So that's important. So this understanding of Brahman is not nirguna Brahman, it's saguna. And then the goal will be to realize the Lord after destroying all the different faults. What are the faults? All the misgivings, philosophical misgivings we may have about how things are. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, by studying the Vedanta Sutra, we will give up our misconceptions that keep us attached to material desires, that keep our heart impure and make us not so interested in associating with devotees. And that, therefore, we can't understand Krishna as a person, how he has qualities, and how he gets everything done through his energies. Does that make sense? Yeah. Structure of Vedanta Sutra. Vastu Trayi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to Sanatana Goswami that only three topics are dealt with in the Vedas. Sambandha, relationship, Abhideya, process, and Prayojana, goal. Bhagavan Sambandha, Bhakti Abhideya Hai. Prema Prayojana, Vedetina, Vastu Kai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the central point of all relationships. So when you're sambandha means you're describing the relationship of something, how one thing connects to another, what it is, how it connects to something else. Right? So all relationships go back to the Lord. They're ultimately meant for that. One is they all go back to the Lord, whether you understand it or not. But understanding it, then you get the devotional benefit. Right? Just like there's yourself, there's the rug, there's the floor. Right? So now the floor has one nature, the rug has a nature, we have a nature. Right? So then you know how to put it together. Right? If you're sitting, then there's the floor, then you put the rug, then you sit on top of that. Right? Does that make sense? Depending on who you are, then you might arrange it that there's you, then there's the floor, and then we put the rug on top so that nobody knows that you buried the guy there. But that's a whole different approach to, you know, your sambandha here. Your goal is slightly different. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, then you know that's there. So the ultimate is that, why is that there? Because Krishna is the support. Right? The floor is the earth. That represent, then on top of that is the energies. Then there will come us. So we're supported by Krishna and his energies. Right? So that's there. But ultimately, why are we sitting? We're sitting on there so we can hear the discussions about the Lord. So that makes it work very nicely. Does that make sense?
So, okay.
So, yeah. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point is these are the three discussions. So, anything to do with that, you're describing anything, you're of Ayurveda, you're describing all the, what are the elements, what are the relationships, but ultimately that goes back to Krishna. Right? Astronomy, also, all the different planets, us, the relationships, the different things like that, ultimately it goes back to Krishna, because he's the Lord of all these things. Right? And then we engage this in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So all topics actually go back to Krishna. If you understand Bhagavan, then you actually understand sambandha. Right? That's why then, yes. Then avideya, then acting in devotional service is one's real occupation. It means so many occupations are defined in the Vedas. Right? For Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasa, all this is defined. But doing that to please Krishna is the real occupation. Right? So we have an occupation, but the real one is pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? And then the prayojana is to develop love for Krishna. Because we get a result of something, that gives us an experience. But what's the real point of that? The real point of that is to develop love for Krishna. Because right? Otherwise we're getting results. And if they're about ourselves, it will continue like that. So we have to come to the point is, no, the results for Krishna. But we got a result for Krishna. Okay, I managed that, we got that, the cart got done, and this and that, and all this, everybody got there on time, it was all, I got all the permissions and all that, okay, now it's done. Nice. Everybody else gets the benefit and all that, but it was for Krishna, so you're going to get some benefit, but not as much as if you understand I'm doing this for Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why then Srimad Bhagavatam means if you're talking about the philosophy, then it's sambandha avideya prayojana. So that's all Vedanta Sutra is going to talk about. And Bhagavatam is the natural commentary. It is the best explanation of sambandha avideya prayojana. So that's why it's considered the topmost, because in all situations, it's all this Bhagavan is sambandha, avideya's service to Bhagavan and developing love for Bhagavan as prayojana. Well, the medium for Vedanta Sutra will be discussing that, but it'll be through the medium or presentation of Brahman. That's why it's called Brahma Sutras. Right? So it's talking about the position of the Lord and everything like that. Also about everything else, the devotion and devotional activities. Yes? Since the Vedanta Sutra is the concise form of all Vedic knowledge, its literary structure exemplifies this method, Srila Prabhupada explains. The Vedanta Sutra consists of four chapters. The first two chapters discuss the relationship of the living entity with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is known as sambandhigyan, or knowledge of the relationship. Well, the first two chapters, yeah. The third chapter describes how one can act in this relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Abhideya Jnana. The relationship of the living entity with the Supreme Lord is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivar Sarup Hoy, Krishna Nitya Das. The living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna, the Supreme God. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 20.108. Therefore, to act in that relationship, one must perform sadhana bhakti, or the prescribed duties of service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called Abhideya Jnana. The fourth chapter describes the results of such devotional service, Prayojana Jnana. This ultimate goal of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. The words Anavritti Shabdat in the Vedanta Sutra indicate the ultimate goal. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 7106, purport. Okay, so we see is that being a Nyaya Shastra is going to work on logic, so it's going to work on how intelligence is presented. Therefore, Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana are going to be in that order. Right? So, therefore, then the first two will be about relationships, so the first one will be more about establishing the position, the second one will be about the attitude. Right? So, Shankarshan and Prajumna. Then the third one will be Vasudeva, how to perform the devotional activities. Fourth one will be Prayojana. But we see Bhagavatam because it's dealing in the cultural aspect and how we can involve ourselves directly, body, mind, and words like that. Therefore, it uses how the mind works. So it'll go Sambandha Prayojana Abhideya. Right? We know the position. We know what the goal is, then we're committed to that, therefore then we'll make the endeavor. Does that make sense? Yeah? Because that's technically how the mind works. The mind will go from an interest into the need, then there'll be the desire to work. Then we'll come back to, okay, now let's do this. So Bhagavatam's presented like that. Well, Vedanta Sutra will just follow that this is Sambandha, this is Abhideya, this is Prayojana. Yes.
Based on that,
yes, the same. So that'll be the same. It'll just have it in order because it's an analytical study. So you put it in order for that. But what we're saying is the chaturshloki, then it goes according to the other. It'll do Sambandha Prayojana and Abhideya. Because you know who you are, you know what the goal is. Then okay, I'm committed to that. So this is what you're going to do. So that will be how you'll practically apply it. But this is how you understand it, but that's how you practically apply it. Right? Okay. In the Vedanta Sutra, there are four chapters, adhyayas, each divided into four divisions, padas. Therefore, the Vedanta Sutra may be referred to as Sodashapada, or 16 divisions of aphorisms. This is illustrated in the following chart. Okay, in the first adhyaya, sama, vayadhyaya, then, this is harmonizing the principles dealt with in the various Upanishads. Samanvaya means harmony. So then we have in the paras 31, 33, 43, 28, like this, you understand? That's the, what's in there. Second one, avirodhayaya, dispelling any virodha or a contradiction that may confront Vedanta philosophy, right? So this is the attitude we're saying. This will be Prajumna. But you're taking it from the negative because we said before you're going to remove all what's improper by understanding. So then by removing that, then you can have the proper attitude.
And the first would be Sankarsana?
Yes. So because this is coming in the form of Vedanta Sutra, it will have its own flavor. Is that so?
Which is Nyaya.
Yes, so it'll have that logic, so it'll take on that. In other words, in Nyaya, you're trying to establish what is the absolute truth. Right? And so therefore you have a logical method to find out what's right and what's wrong. So you're going to harmonize all the principles dealt with the various Upanishads because it appears that they're all different. But you're showing that they're the same. Then you're removing any improper moods and all that are therein trying to gain that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then three, saranadhyaya.
describing the process of devotional service, Abhideya Jnana. And then Faladhyaya, describing the results of devotional service, Prayojana Jnana. You see, your biggest are in the second and third, right? Removing what's improper and then establishing what you should do. So in other words, you're harmonizing, so there's a common thing. You're removing any improper understanding. You're giving what is the proper way of dealing, and then you're showing the result. Okay? Yes.
As does the role described of each of these four, is there a similar breakdown for the four parters of each? I mean, is there...
That I'm not sure. Have you seen anything like that? Have you taken it?
Well, there's elements of within the Adhikarana, within...
There must be some logic behind it.
Yes, well, that it's going back, yes?
I just have a request to all the students to speak loud because it's really hard to hear what the discussion is all about. Just with Maharaj and others, some are doing noises in the background. It's very hard to understand.
So you're saying we should speak as loud as the noises in the background? Okay.
I was going to say, it's hard to assess because even the concept of viroda, or the confronting other philosophies,
right,
it comes up in the first place.
Yes. Well, otherwise, how do you harmonize?
Yeah.
And it'll also probably, in the other places, then an improper abhideya, it'll remove that, improper prayojan, it'll remove that. But it just means its major is done there.
Mm-hmm. Even like the first four sutras are more or less the meditative prayojan.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. He's saying that the that you even have within the Adhikaranas, you'll have Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana and these different things like that. So he's saying it's all there. These, it just gives a general kind of flavor. Panchanga Nyaya. Next, Srila Prabhupada goes into more detail about the Vedanta Sutra's logical framework. The theme of each and every division is fully described in terms of five different subject matters, adhikaranas, which are technically called pratigya, hetu, udaharana, upanaya, and nigamana. Footnote 5. Adhikaranas may be only one sutra or may extend over many sutras. Their purpose is to analyze the seemingly contradictory sentences of the Upanishads and ascertain their correct meaning. Right. So in other words, the point is a Panchanga Nyaya is a complete form of a logical explanation. So it may come in one or many sutras, like that. The idea is that it's a point. We just read in the Jiva Goswami was giving in, which was it? One of the Sandarbhas there? You know, in Anucheda 103. So an Anucheda is an Adhikarana. Does that make sense? So here they're called Adhikaranas because it's a logical plum blossom. Okay.
Right? Sorry.
Yes, very good.
So those Pratigya Hetu, that's from
the Astrid. These are the terms he's using because, you see, we're trying to remove the improper understandings or either by other philosophies. In other words, the Upanishads have given their points. These are an essence of what's in the Veda itself, in the Samhita. Now, your six schools have then therefore taken verses and according to the philosophy have interpreted them in a particular way. Right? And so, therefore, you're going to have to remove any improper understandings. That, therefore, he uses this system. So he's going to give the pratigya, and then there's immediately going to be what is the doubt. Right? Like that. So in any of these kind of things, it depends upon... See, the terms Prabhupada's using here, these are Gotamas. But Vyasadeva will use the other ones, because hetu, I think, means reason.
Yes,
but Vyasadeva will use
what's the term?
Shamshaya.
Yeah, Shamshaya. You know, the doubt or the like that. But these are the positions. So Pratigya is always the same. But Hetu or Shamshaya, those are the same thing. Either you're giving your reason or you're or hearing about their reason why they don't like. You're giving your reason why it is, they're giving their reason why they think it's not. Right? And then Udaharana means you're giving your examples to explain your reasons. Like we saw before. Krishna is not involved. It's just the modes of nature. And then he gives the example of that during the great wars, then people are going to war, you know, for the idea to make the world a better place, but coming back not so satisfied with what they came up with. Right?
Everyone's a loser.
Yeah, everyone's a loser. So that's his example. That's Udaharana. So in here, then Udaharana means you will either be explaining your thing, or you may, because you have the Shamshaya, you have the doubt that's come up from the Hetu, you're going to be directly dealing with that. Does that make sense? In other words, the doubts that come up are either indirectly dealt with or directly dealt with. So if there's no opponent, you will bring up something that may be there. But if there is an opponent, then you're dealing directly with that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Is it that the Purva Paksha is like an example of how someone may deal with the doubt?
Yes, like that. The Purva Paksha, they may come up with it. Because also it's called that Shamshaya Purva Paksha, like that. So the Shamshaya will be the doubt, and the Purva Paksha will be basically their explanation of that. Mm-hmm. So it can be used any of these terms. That's why they'll all come up there. Then Upanaya means to bring near. Now I've showed all the different things. I've given all the different examples from different angles. I will bring that together so I show that it's a consistent point that's in line with what we're saying. And that, therefore, establishes the thesis, you know, as what we originally said, right? But now in here, Upanaya, it can also be is that you're doing that, but if you're defeating someone else's argument, then they'll say Siddhanta. You're showing how this is actually the conclusion. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. So, isn't it Siddhanta and Nigamana are the same? There's also another term that comes up here in this position.
Siddhanta's the fourth one.
Fourth. Siddhanta is the fourth one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's five positions, but depending upon how you are dealing with the position, you give it a different name. Does that make sense? You have a purse, right? Now what happens if it's small, it's long, it's held in your hand, and there is no chain? There is no nothing, right? Then it's a clutch. Right? If it's got short handles, it's a shoulder. Let's say it's very long ones, then it's cross body. But it's just a purse. That's all that's being given here. It's the same thing, just depending upon its particular way it's being used, it has a different name. So you're only going to have these five categories. So footnote five. We just did that. Every theme must necessarily be explained with reference to Pratigya, or a solemn declaration of the purpose of the treatise. The solemn declaration given in the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra is the Tato Brahma Jigyasa, which indicates that this book was written with a solemn declaration to inquire about the absolute truth. Right? So that means it's about the absolute truth. That means every Adhikarana after this will be about the absolute truth. Just like so that's the point. Your invocation, your Anubandha Chatushtaya, this is the whole book will be based on that. So Tato Brahma Jigyasa, just like the first three verses of Bhagavatam, then that establishes this is what it's about. It's about the Supreme Lord. It's not about anything else. It's about the Supreme Lord, about devotional service, about removing any unnecessary understandings or practices of devotional service, and it's to understand the relationships and affection that the Lord has with the devotees.
Right? So this first one will be about Sambandha, second one about Abhideya, third one about Prayojana in the Bhagavatam. Yes?
Can you say that Adhikarana is Pratigya, the same? Can you say that's
the Pratigya, the Adhikarana is the full detail of the Pratigya. You've made your statement, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, then you're going to prove that through reason, through example, through bringing near and then conclusion.
Oh, so that's all together would be the Adhikarana.
That all together is an Adhikarana. Okay, got it? So that all together is not. In other words, that Adhikarana and Panchanga Nyaya are the same thing. Mm-hmm. Means your technique you're using is Panchanga Nyaya, the five angas of logic. That together is called an Adhikarana. Does that make sense? Yeah. Here it's called an Adhikarana. As we see, Jiva Goswami will use the term Anucheta. Yes. Okay. Similarly, reasons must be expressed. Hetu. Examples must be given in terms of various facts. Udaharana. The theme must gradually be brought nearer for understanding, Upanaya, and finally it must be supported by authoritative quotations from the Vedic Shastras, Nigamana. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 7.106. This also brings in line with in Mimamsa. Then the sixth point of Mimamsa is that there has to be sangati, a connection. So this is then where the connection comes in. That last point, though the last point is explaining the first point, you've come back around to that, but you're giving it in connection with other authoritative literatures. So that many times you see when Prabhupada applies it, that means a practical way of applying it or using it in your life. Mm-hmm. Many times you see. Sometimes he's just stating the same point again. Sometimes he's taking it further. How to understand this is if you're reading purports, Prabhupada's purports, the first sentence. And sometimes it's a big sentence, sometimes a few, but it's generally one sentence. That's your thesis. That's your pratigya. And your last sentence is the final point. Right? Just before that last sentence, many times Prabhupada will say, thus. That's this upanaya. To bring near. Right? All this is together. Thus, we can understand and conclude this. Therefore, we have that. And then right after he says the first sentence, you'll see that he's explaining, giving exact explanation of what he's just said in the first sentence. That may be a few sentences, sometimes it's even a whole paragraph. Sometimes that's if it's not a commonly understood or known thing, there'll be a very big explanation, otherwise a few sentences. Then you'll find in between all that, then you'll have his examples. If you look at the purports, generally most all purports, follow that very nicely. Sometimes the reason and the examples are put together. Sometimes the conclusion and the final point is put together because it's a very simple thing, you know. Or it's just, you know, he makes a thing, he says some little thing, and then it concludes. But it's following the same pattern. In other words, they're already included. That's why it says sometimes there's only one sutra because it's so easily explained. And then others that are more technical, it'll be more wrong. So. Make sense? Yes. Okay.
Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his Govinda Bhashya gives equivalent technology. There are five parts to each subsection or adhikarana within the pada or the section of the chapter, right? So in other words, you have the chapter, then you have within that the four padas. Within the four padas are adhikaranas, right? No adhikarana goes over into the next pada. No. So within a pada, there'll be complete adhikaranas, like that. But generally many, no?
Yeah, like in the first pada.
Yes. So there'll be so many in that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that pada is a group of particular adhikaranas. And then four of those is then that chapter. So there'll be some similarity, but there'll be a natural progression. You know, just like we saw in Prabhupada's analysis of Gita. There's a natural progression based on this, you know, of one adhikarana to the next. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Vishaya is the subject. Samshaya is the doubt, right? So
So your what is it here? Your pratigya and vishaya are the same. Right? Then your shamshaya, or doubt, that comes in the position of hetu. You give your reason, they have their doubt. Right? Because generally, until you give your reason, doubt doesn't come up. Sometimes it does, just from what you said anyway, brings up a doubt. But, you know, generally most people would, you know, I mean, if you're dealing on the intellectual platform, they hear your reason. You know, because it means it doesn't sound right, but what's your reason for it? Because it may be, you know, it was well-intentioned, or maybe there's something that you weren't looking at and that, okay, then it makes sense. Or but once they explain the reason, then your doubt comes up. So that's, they're in the same position. So you might find there is explanation and doubt coming up. Or it may be just explanation, I mean reason, or just doubt. Does that make sense? So it may have any of these forms. Right? Then purvapaksha, your objection, that will be then your coming from the shamshaya. So in purvapaksha, because it's the objection, you're going to counter that with your udaharana. So even though we call it purvapaksha like that, that is their reasons and examples, and so therefore you have your examples to counter. Right? So in other words, if there's no doubt, we just go, here's the point, here's the reason, here's examples, then we summarize it, then we give conclusion. Right? If there's a doubt, then we give our point, they give their counterpoint and their arguments, then we give ours. Right? You understand? So it's the same thing, but it's just taking how it's being presented. Siddhanta's conclusion, in other words, you've showed what they've given, what you've given, and how what you've given includes theirs. In other words, that's you absorb their philosophy into yours. Right? Just like for the Mayavadis, okay, there's only Brahman, and then there is how you say the, but there we see that there's transformation. So Brahman can't transform, but at the same time, everything's only Brahman. Therefore, then Brahma Parinamavad. But the problem is since Brahman can't transform, therefore Shakti Parinamavad is much better, because Brahman stays the same. Brahman Shakti is what changes. Therefore, our philosophy already includes theirs. And it makes more sense. Theirs doesn't make sense. Because if it's only Brahman and Brahman can't transform, how can there be anything? But if there's only Brahman and there is transformation, that means Brahman is not transforming. That means Brahman's energy is transforming. Does that make sense? So that means we've included theirs in there. It's not that you just take it and throw it out. You do have methods of that. But in actual proper discussion with a proper person, you don't use that. You find what is the essential point what they're making, and then show how their essential point's already included in yours in a much better presentation. Does that make sense? These others where you just find a fault and throw it out, these are techniques you can use in logic that are used, but they're not, basically you don't use them unless the person's unqualified. Or you're unqualified, so you use them.
They're not bad. Discussion
with
something else?
There, yeah, it means this, you jalpa, you're just saying anything, you know, you keep changing me, you say this, then they change the subject, as soon as they see that you're going to defeat them, they change the subject, yes. Like this, or say something that doesn't actually match, you know, like that, we're going, you know, we should go to the temple now, you know, and now no, but we have lunch at this person's house today, it's like, yeah, so what do they got to do with that, you know? You know, so like that, there are these methods, and they're basically based on emotional, and nowadays these are extremely popular. In fact, they may be exclusively used. Mm-hmm. So these things will come up as rhetoric. How to use methods. So proper rhetoric will be logic. But in the Western, they have logic and rhetoric. So in the Vedic, it's just all called logic, but within the logic, there is the rhetorical things where you just are arguing for arguing's sake, or just to win an argument. So now if you're dealing with somebody who doesn't know how to deal properly, you may use them yourself.
because you can't use logic actually to defeat them. Right? But the point is if your conclusion of doing that is not Siddhanta, it's bogus. So if you're establishing Siddhanta by using these less valuable methods, then it still works out properly. So if someone is using them to oppose Siddhanta, you can use them to establish Siddhanta. But if you can keep to logic, like you see Prabhupada would do, he would mention to the priest, okay, in the Bible it says, thou shalt not kill, because they're saying, why are you vegetarian? It's all God's creation. He gave you like this. Like this. It says, thou shalt not kill. No, but that means murder. No, it says kill. It doesn't say murder. And then they keep trying to move. No, it says kill. Why are you like that? So that's where he's using the logic and keeping it to it and not going off and allowing them to get mental. So, does that make sense? Yeah. So these are the... Yes, techniques. Okay, and where was... Yeah, Sangati, agreement with other scriptures. So the Sangati and the Nigamana are the same. You're going to bring it into that agreement. And that gives us to footnote 6, which we don't have time for. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
yeah.
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
yeah.
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.